Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Glory be to God. We thank you, Father, for this wonderful opportunity that you've afforded us on this Zoom fellowship with people all over. Thank you, Lord, for it. Lord, I thank you for putting love in our heart, taking out that old flesh. We praise you, Father, that when we got that love, selfishness goes, all of the bad things go, and just you are left. We praise you for that, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Lord, today's going to be an awesome time because we're going to allow you to lead us and guide us into what you want us to talk about, Lord. And I praise you and glorify you. Lord, I thank you for being our God. Sometimes, I know that I don't thank you enough for being my God and our God. That I don't thank you for just waking up in the morning, being able to get up out of bed and just be breathing. And Father, I thank you for that. Lord, just all kinds of things going on in the world, but I know that you're sovereign and everything that's going on you know about, you've got your hand on it. And Father, we praise you, we glorify you, that we don't have to fear anything. All we have to do is do that agape love. And I thank you for it, Father. Let today be an awesome time. Lord, we love you, we bless you, and we thank you, Lord, for being our Father and our God. Thank you for your leading power of the Holy Spirit. We praise you, Lord, for all the things that you're doing in our lives to get rid of that old man, and there's nothing left but Jesus. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you for all the healings that's taking place this day that we've already prayed for. And I praise you, Father, for the good report. And I thank you, Lord, for our prayers for the people around us that you've already answered. And because we believe that when we pray that we're going to get an answer. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's not going to be an exception. Whenever we pray tonight, we believe, and we know that we're going to receive in Jesus' name. All right. Thank you, Lord. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? I want to pray for our down the hill neighbor. The man died last night. But Lord, we lift up the boys to you, and we thank you, Father, for healing their hearts of their dad and their wife and his wife and all his kids, grandkids, and all the people that he has affected in his life. And Father, we thank you for opening the gates for him and bringing him in. I believe, Lord, that he has made himself ready. I hope he has. I pray he has. And I thank you, Father, for bringing Ronnie into the fold of the kingdom of God. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And Lord, we thank you that it's going to be a celebration down there in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Lord, I ask and I pray that you would, his neighbor over there, I'm not going to mention his name, but Lord, you know who I'm talking about. I ask, Father, that you grant repentance to him, and I ask that you send your angels of favor down there to show favor to you, Lord, and to come into the kingdom in a mighty way. Used to be, but he fell out years ago because of whatever. And Lord, I thank you for bringing him back. In Jesus' name. As you know, Lord, he's not in the best of health. He's got the big C to him. But Lord, we know it's not even a C when it comes to us. We just command it to go and it goes. And Father, we thank you for doing that for him and bringing him into the kingdom. Thank you, Father, for sending the angels over to minister to him. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anybody else? Hey, Pat. Monroe, good to see you, bro. Barry and Marilyn, good to see y'all too. of that mountain anyway, and that moon. All right. Y'all ready for some good old gospel song? Good old praise and worship, I guess. Okay.
We sat down and we wrote this song. Because I don't write songs because I'm thinking, oh, the church will sing this. Oh, yeah, this will do great on radio. Ooh. No, I sing songs I need to sing. I sing things about his character that I need to reinforce till the faith meets up with what I'm actually saying. Right on? God, Jehovah. Jehovah Rapha, you're our healer, you and you alone. And we will trust you, Jehovah Rapha, you're our healer, you and you alone. The middle of the dark, in the thick of sorrow, you say, look up to where our help comes from. If everything around us says there is no hope, we're never gonna let go the hem of your robe. Sing God Jehovah. And God, Jehovah Rapha, you're our healer, you and you alone. We will trust you, we will trust you, Lord. Jehovah Rapha, you're our healer, you. Standing on the promise, the foundation of your word. Everyone is here who comes before you, Lord. You're depending on your power. You do what can't be done, either now or forever.
Thank you, Lord. Give me just a minute here. Let me get this off. Couldn't find the off deal. Amen. All right. I did notice something in that song. Did anybody else notice what I noticed? Okay. Who noticed something? I know Pat did. Okay, Pat, what was it?
I'm having a hard time getting my control straight tonight. We've already received it. He's already
Yes,
done it.
amen.
So
Amen.
I changed that and added, what was he singing?
You're
You're
gonna
gonna
do it.
do
I
it.
said, you're gonna do it. And I said, we already have it. That's what I was singing.
And I was adding, you're going to do it through us.
Amen. Amen. That's a good one too. Amen. You have done it. Okay. Well, listen. Right on people there. All right, anybody else got anything they'd like to share? Pray about. Yeah, Matt.
Yeah, I'd just like to announce and to our extended family that Anna and I are pregnant.
Stand up, Matt. I don't believe Yes, you are. Praise God. That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, what's it gonna be? You ain't saying, are you? Oh my. Amen. Well, let's see. That's number three that I know about already. Yeah. Amen. Gonna be loved and be perfect. Yep. It's gonna have all fingers and toes and everything else it needs. All that stuff. Benita. What you gonna name it? I tried to sneak that in there, but you didn't fall for it. Go ahead, Benita.
You want me to give it a name? Japanese something.
What?
Those
What?
kids were, I was talking, was talking to the boys today and they were trying to tell me the name of Elisha's cat and it was Japanese plum or something like that. I couldn't figure it out. So anyways, I just,
Babuna or
Michael,
something like that.
yeah, I only know of two. So I need to know who the third one is. That was the thing.
Okay.
Morgan, I mean, not Morgan, but you know, Geneva, Anna, and
I didn't know Geneva was pregnant. I didn't know that. Well, that's four.
I am.
Okay.
I announced it. It was like a. It was probably like a month or two ago, something like that. But
Oh,
yeah,
that's why.
sometime in July
Okay.
is the
All
goal.
right.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah.
Amen. You see, Geneva, Anna, da da da. Yep, that's four. That's four. I can't say the other ones. I've been sworn to secrecy. Maybe if we, you know, a little empty. All right, go ahead, Lena or David.
Well, we're one of them.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
There it is. Amina's going to have one.
I don't know who the fourth one is.
Oh, I do. I can't tell right now. Yeah, there's three. That's almost a tractor load right there. My goodness, all at the same time too. Hey, we need some girls in the fellowship. We got a bunch of boys, now we need some girls. You got Theo and Max and Gabe. There's three right there. Then you got Obi and Elisha. That's five. Then you got who else? Then we only got what? Two girls?
No, there's a bunch of them are babies. We got five girls and six boys. Because there's Zoe.
Oh, Zoe.
Abigail, Hadassah.
Yeah.
And
then we've got.
Or no, there's only five boys. So five of each. Our two boys and Lana's three.
That's 2 minutes for me to count. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We got a bunch of them coming up. Glory to God. That's always a lot of fun to watch. And they all play good together, mostly. Mostly they all do. They all do. Yeah, Elena.
I did want to share one thing that was really neat. Right after I had Hadassah, David and I we both thought we were done having kids, but I had a dream, like pretty soon after I gave birth to her, I had a dream that I had twins and I had a girl and a boy, and the girl was just a little bit bigger than the boy.
Oh,
and
man.
I was kind of confused by that, but now I'm thinking, since I am pregnant so soon, maybe the Lord was showing me that, you know, I'm going to have two just really close together, Hadassah, and maybe my next one will be a boy. So thank you, Lord. I thought
Amen.
That was really amazing.
Great. Yeah. Yeah. Big sister's always got to have a little boy to take care of.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, my goodness. Twins, that'd be good. That'd be awesome. Twin boys. Ooh, boy, I'm going to tell you something about them twin boys. You got to have a big stick. That rod of correction better be big, boy, I'm telling you. Bring them up in love.
Good thing he knows a stick maker.
Yeah, absolutely. Amen. Glory to God. Oh, my. We got good kids. All our kids are good. They're in the fellowship. They're all good kids. Joe wants to know what month the babies do.
September.
September. All right.
On my birthday, it's the 16th.
Okay.
Well, that birthday is my brother's birth date is the 16th. Mine's the 20th, and this one is supposedly the 29th.
Well, I have a daughter that was born the 28th. September, Courtney, she was born on the 28th of September. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, man. Lord is filling the kettle, isn't he? My, 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 my. Nick, Isaac, and Ezra are all on the 30th. That's pretty neat. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? Okay. Y'all remember, I think Julie said I gave this out about September last year. And I believe it's appropriate now. I think I sent everybody a copy of The New Kind of Love by E.W. Kenyon. Y'all remember that? Did anybody ever read it and remember what it said? So somewhat, you know, I'm not talking about every word, but the whole theme of the thing. The whole theme of the whole book, I got it back out the other day. Do y'all mind if I share a little bit of this? Okay. All right. All right. New Kind of Love. Love alone can give and nurture babyhood. Giving birth to a baby outside of love is a crime against the child. Every child outside of love is every child has a right to be loved, born. There's no crime among all the crimes in the real of wrong like the murder of love. Love is the reason for life. When love is gone, life has lost its reason. Love is a spiritual thing. Now get that. Love is a spiritual thing. It's above reason. It's not in the reason realm. It is God invading the realm of the human. When we step out of love, we act contrary to the will of the master. Whenever we act outside of love, we act contrary to the will of our Lord. And the reason why men could not love God and love one another under the first covenant was because the heart was selfish, dominated by spiritual death. One ceases to be dangerous to others when he moves into the realm of love. Every migration out of the realm of love is into a danger land. Love becomes beautiful and very attractive as we continue to abide in love and let love abide in us. I wish we knew what that meant in reality, in daily life, to have faith in love. Greater faith than we have in any other love. Greater faith than we have in any other law of life. For us to consciously know that we are living in the love realm, that we are acting as citizens should act who live in that realm, that we are taking our place as ones of love in the realm of love. I am convinced that we should have to love language, to love etiquette, and the laws that govern that wonderful kingdom. The measure of our love is the measure of our worth to society. Man was created by love to answer the heart cry of the Father God. And man outside of love is a failure. Selfishness is the blighting curse of humans. Love stops the rust of selfishness, preserves the home and church life from decay. Marriage is wrecked by selfishness. The home life disintegrates because the husband is selfish and the wife seeks her own. The children are born and grow up in that atmosphere. They go out into life handicapped. Love is God in action. There's no love without action. God so loved that he gave God, so loved that he acted. Jesus so loved that he acted. it would be a great day in your life if you would let love loose in you. It will mean letting God loose in you. His grace then would be without limitation. Grace is love in manifestation. Increasing in love is like increasing in physical strength or knowledge. And this would imply that there is a limitlessness to our ability to absorb, reveal, and give love. Love is the one thing in the human. Now, if anybody got any questions when I go through here, just raise your hand or just say something. Love is the one thing in the human that never grows old, never wears out. It's something as imperishable as a human spirit. Something so much a part of the Father that when we and the Father become united and utterly one, we pass out of the future failure realm, the failure realm into the realm of the resurrected Christ. And it's been hard for us to believe in God's love for us when difficulties came into our lives, but we know now that all the abnormal things are not the product of love. They come from the adversary seeking to dethrone love in our hearts. When love governs our life, we will say nothing that injures anyone. Love, in the final analysis, is wisdom. It has caused us to create, invent, and search until we have discovered things that will make others happy. Love will make us thoughtful, gentle, and tender. When we speak, there will be something in our voice that will win people to us. We will not only be earnest, but we will speak a wisdom in love. When we love people, it's easy to work for them. Everything that has life longs for love. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. And it matters not how much knowledge we have. If we haven't wisdom to use it, we're going to be failures. When love governs our life, we will say nothing that injures anyone. Lord, forgive me. We must close our natural sense-ruled eyes and through the eyes of our heart, see them as the Father sees them. But as long as we see them through sense-governed eyes or flesh-governed eyes, we will never be able to take Jesus' place and do the love acts that Jesus did. It's love that's going to lead us out of the web of selfishness in which we have been walking and struggling all these years. It is love that will put us over and make us winners in life's fight. We have been need conscious. And as long as we are weakness conscious and sickness conscious, faith will have no place in our lives. But when we yield ourselves to the lordship of love, cut every shoreline that binds us to selfishness, love will put us over, make us conscious of what we are. When you receive love, you are receiving the ability of God. You are clothed from on high with God's ability. Love has led us out of the wilderness of doubt and fears into the rose-strewn fields of God's grace and omnipotence. At last, we have won. At last, we are conquerors. A home could not be destroyed if every member could be taught to take his place in love. The wife would never remember the past mistakes of the husband, nor would the husband ever remind the wife of any unpleasant happenings. All the mistakes and failures of the past would be wiped out. What homes we could have! There would be no more quarreling over finances No more bitter words. But each one would be walking in love. There has never been a divorce in a home where the husband and wife both walked in love. And this is the solution to the divorce problem. When selfishness is eliminated in us and love gains the ascendancy, we will not seek our own any longer. We will live as the Master lived in his earth walk. We will give ourselves for the redemption of the world as Jesus gave himself. We can't die for their sins, but we can live the life, the love life for their salvation. We cannot die for their sins, but we can live the love life for their salvation. We will slowly but surely develop into real lovers like our Lord. Faith will no longer be a struggle or a thing to be desired. There isn't a thing in the new covenant or in the finished work of Christ that doesn't belong to you. He's able to make you all that his great heart desires you to be. You have written yourself up as a failure for the last time. From today, you step into the new ranks of the conquerors, the overcomers, the people who put things over. Let the world hear you confess what God's ability is in you. They've heard your confession of weakness and failures. Now change the song and sing the song of a victor. To walk in love is actually to live in God. To walk in love is actually to live in God. Faith grows in the atmosphere of love. Faith becomes a dominating, a creative force when love really rules. We rule diseases and circumstances as we walk in love. And it's no effort to believe. Love never tries to believe, never tries to have faith. The very word love suggests faith. Love makes our faith become limitless. Our greatest difficulty has been that we forget what we are in Christ. We remember what we have been. We remember what we were in the old life. We remember our failures, our weaknesses, and our lack, but we forget that the new creation is the end of failure because God has imparted himself to us, Lord of God. And it's almost impossible for a man or woman to be healed whose mind and heart are filled with hatred. We may live with a man or a woman for 40 years and not truly know the person. Only love opens the heart and reveals the depth of our nature. Unless we are born of God, we will not love. We may feign love. We may try to imitate love, but we will not be successful. Love is reality. Selfishness is the outlaw in the realm of love. It breaks into that realm. It seeks to dethrone love and take its selfishness. It seeks to dethrone love and take its crown. Selfishness is a robber, a bold, wicked robber. It makes men dissemble. It breaks friendships. It wrecks homes. It runs churches. It destroys the fruit of love. There's only one force able to conquer selfishness and destroy its effectiveness in the lives of men. And that force is the new kind of love. Natural human love turns through neglect to hatred, jealousy, and murder. You know what anarchy is? It is selfishness without restraint. It is the absence of God. It is man attempting to solve life's problems and leaving God out of his reckoning. That makes him an anarchist. This Jesus kind of love, it changes getting into giving. Let me read that again. It changes getting into giving. It destroys the soil out of which selfishness finds its strength. He never unveils himself to those who do not love him. He was silent when they stripped him naked and crowned him with thorns. He reveals himself to the lover. A husband and wife who live in love would live in a heaven-like atmosphere, wouldn't they? Children who grew up in this atmosphere would never know what quarreling and bitterness meant. You see, the man who misses love misses the most beautiful thing that life has to offer. What a thrilling fact. Love so fills us that fear has no place in our life. Love lifts one out of the commonplace into the supernatural. This revelation of love is given to enable us to face the problems that are bound to confront us in these last days as victors. If we love one another, even as he loved us, we will never injure anyone. We will never take advantage of anyone. We will never say anything we ought not to say or do anything we shouldn't do. Every step out of love is a step into trouble. If you think back over your life, you'll find that every mistake you have ever made has been when you stepped out of love or acted out of love. How many of you know that? Glory to God, I know it. The bitter words you spoke that separated you from someone you love was a step out of love. Every time we bruise or hurt someone, we step out of love. Living in love, practicing love in everyday life will lead one into the joy of the Master. And Jesus' joy will be fulfilled in him. No one sins who walks in love. Every step out of love will be a step out of fellowship and joy. As long as one walks in love, he will never transgress against anyone. And as long as one walks in the realm of love, one has constant fellowship with the Father. Love not only shields the sinning one from your criticism and your harshness, but it also prevents the quarreling and bitterness that would have naturally followed if you had spoken your mind as we sometimes do. The moment the church leaves the love realm, Satan gains the ascendancy. Satan gains the mastery over a man the moment he steps out of love. Excuse me. Selfishness is like a great mogul engine drawing the long train of human agony and suffering down through the ages. It's not preaching. It's loving. It's not criticizing. It's loving. It is not new laws to stop sin and wrongdoing. It is a new kind of life that destroys sin by destroying selfishness. We must gird ourselves with love to go out and serve the unworthy and selfish. Give ourselves as he gave himself for us. How beautiful life becomes when we walk in love. What a place for babies to be born. Come on, girls. What a place for them to play and romp and learn to walk and talk and take their place in life's great game in a home where love reigns. And I've seen it here. All this is possible. This is not poetry. This is not philosophy. This is the everyday life of the everyday man who walks in love. And love is the only reason for being. Love is the only thing that makes life rich and worthwhile. But oh, how ruthlessly love is slain. How unkindly love is starved. How thoughtlessly love is neglected and forgotten. We thought we would always remember to say the kind words and do the kind deeds on which love feeds. But in the multitude of our activities in life's great fight, we have forgotten so many times. How we tax love to forgive our forgetfulness, to overlook the thoughtless hurt. We watch over our words so that we will not do or say anything that would break the tranquility of the atmosphere of love. We watch over our words so that we will not do or say anything that would break the tranquility of the atmosphere of love. We speak the truth in love, tenderly, gently. Out of the heart where love reigns, tender words spring into being. They fill the air around us with the very fragrance, the aroma of heaven. We become tender-hearted and gentle with each other, even as God also in Christ has been gentle, tender toward us. We live in love. We think in terms of love, and we bless the world. We Christians have a love background. We have a love parentage. We are born of God, and God is love. If love is your nature, selfishness is dethroned. But we are surrounded by selfishness. Everything connected with the natural life is tinged and colored by selfishness. You see it in the animal creation. You see it in natural man everywhere. If you follow the recreated spirit's impulses, you would live just as the master lived, in love. But we quench the recreated spirit. And we say that we are not able to do it, that we cannot afford to do it. We are afraid to walk the way of love. We are afraid to depend upon the word. We are afraid to give love a free course. We have not taken into consideration that he's with us. Isaiah 41 and 10. We have been afraid, and so we have quenched love until it has lost its initiative. Hang on just a second. And no longer dares to suggest action. After you have confessed your lack of love and have given love its place, you'll stop doing the things that break fellowship and spoils the gentle harmony of your home. Remember, wife, you are taking Jesus' place in that home. Husband, you are taking the master's place. This love life in you, let loose, will solve your domestic problems. This love life in you, let loose, will solve your domestic problems. Everything else has failed. Our human wisdom, our human abilities have failed. We have made life bankrupt because we did not dare to give love its place and let love have a right of way. God is love. Now, he that loves abides in God, and God abides in him. Now, if God is abiding in you, then you have in you the solution of the problem that confronts you, if you give him the right of way to solve it. Your education and your training have been unable to make you a success. If you will give love its place, things will adjust themselves. You must dare to go the way of love. It will be necessary for you to think of yourself as a lover, to see yourself in your home, in the shop, in the school, wherever you spend your time in contact with people, as a lover. But you give love right of way and see what happens to you. It's hard to love hypocrites, but Jesus did it. You can do it too. what Jesus did, you can do because you have his nature and ability. He told us the things that he did, you can do, didn't he? So we can do, praise God. You can give, but your eyes will condemn. You can speak loving words when the tone in your voice is so sharp and ragged that it tears and wounds. There is a home end to your business. Unless you put love there, it will fail and break down. The cross was love's method of war on sin. The cross was love unleashed, let loose, set free from every anchorage. It was love becoming weak and love accepting defeat. And you're going to need love more as you grow old. Then store it up. Hoard love until the hour of need comes. You will be able to draw on it. Then you'll have it. Real love will destroy all that is unreal. Sham cannot abide in light and love. Light in the light of love, I'm sorry. Selfishness is destroyed in the heart when love takes over. Self-preservation is the first law of selfishness. The preservation of others is the first law of love. The strong, according to the love law, must bear the infirmities of the weak and not please themselves. Selfishness is the mother of practically all our miseries. Most of our tears are born of selfishness. Love makes one lighthearted, companionable, and helpful. The Jesus kind of love is God's cure for every ill. Love lifts one out of the realm of the senses into the realm of the spirit. Do y'all want me to continue on? Or do y'all want to? Okay. Human love is the most beautiful flower that humanity has naturally, but it is a poison flower. It has caused heartaches, divorces, the broken homes, the wrecked families that disgrace our civilization. The Jesus kind of love has never broken a home. It has never wrecked a life. It has never made a criminal out of a single child. This in itself should awaken thinking men and women. I don't like much. The moment that one becomes love-minded, he becomes broad-minded, God-minded, humanity-minded. He sees the need. His ears become attuned to catch the sigh, excuse me, and to feel the sob of the broken heart surrounding. When we become love-minded, we actually take Jesus' place. If we live in love, we'll begin to bear the fruits of love. The fruit of love will be in the actions and the conduct and the words that are born of love. The days of hating, of jealousy, of bitterness, and revenge are past. This Jesus kind of love is the answer to the heart cry of childhood, of youth, of manhood, of old age. It will take the bitterness out of the heart and soften the lines of the face. It will make the husband and wife more than content with their own home. This love is a home builder and a home preserver. And this is God's method of protecting marriage. This is God's method of protecting childhood and motherhood. When the Jesus kind of love gains the ascendancy in the hearts of husband and wife, no other law is necessary to preserve the home. Old human love is based upon selfishness. And it can easily turn to hatred, jealousy, bitterness, and murder. But the very provocations that would make the old love turn to bitterness make the new kind of love more beautiful. It seeks not its own. It bears with all kinds of persecutions and bitterness and never sinks to the level of a provocator. Love promotes health. God is love. God is my healer. Love is the healer. Now, I can understand why bitter thoughts upset the stomach and disturb the circulation of the blood. I can understand now that there's only one sin for the believer, and that is to step outside of love. I'm going to read that one again. I can understand now that there's only one sin for the believer, and that is to step outside of love. All other sins are the children of the mother sin of sins. Learn to think in terms of love. Learn to give in love so that the background of your life, the mother of your action, is love. This Jesus kind of love. Get love's language. Learn it. Let it displace the language of the world. He loved it. He loved. You love. He died for them. You live for them. He is in you, the lover of men, loving through you. It is giving love its place in life. Love first. Love must be first. The believer moves in love. It is the center of his being. Love has all the earmarks of Jesus. It is a love that covers up the failings and weaknesses of those about it. Never talks unkindly. Never bears a tale. It is the unfeigned love that loves from the heart fervently. A love that lifts us out of the commonplace into its own realm. Natural human love is born of selfishness. Sorry about that. Y'all hear that? Okay. Hey, I'm on conference call. Okay, I will. That's my grandson, Blake. Praise God. He had his little boy with him, Ryder Lee. I forget where I was. The moment that one becomes love-minded, that is, I think so. He becomes broad-minded, God-minded, humanity-minded. He sees the need. His ears become attuned to catch the sigh and to feel the sob of the broken hearts around him. Have I already read that? I don't think so. When we become love-minded, we actually take Jesus' place. If we live in love, we begin to bear the fruits of love. And the fruit of love will be in the actions and the conduct and the words that are born of love. The days of hating, of jealousy, of bitterness, and revenges are past. This Jesus kind of love is the answer to the heart cry of childhood, of youth, of manhood, and of old. Oh, I've already read this. Yeah. Learn to think in terms of love. Learn to give in love so that the background of your life, the mother of your action, is love. This Jesus kind of love. Get love's language. Learn it. Let it displace the language of the world. You loved, you love. He died for them. You live for them. He is in you. The lover of men, loving through you. It's giving love its place in life. Love must be first. The believer moves in love. It is the center of his being. Love has all the earmarks of Jesus. It is a love that covers up the failings and weaknesses of those about it. It never talks unkindly, never bears a tale. It is the unfeigned love that loves from the heart fervently. A love that lifts us out of the commonplace into its own realm. Natural human love is born of selfishness. And when that selfishness is thwarted, it becomes miserable. We believe in the person we love. It is hard for us to doubt where love has found a nesting place. It will be a victorious hour when we learn to believe in love. It is something that lifts us into a realm above the senses where we trust in an unseen force. If you trust in love, you trust in God. God is love. Then it is following God. We will go where love leads. We will do what love suggests. This is the way Jesus lived. He followed love. We set aside the things that we once craved for love's sake. for we're going down the path of love. It may be thorn field or it may be strong with roses, but we will follow love. So there's two things there that we do. We can do as a child of God. If you want to have peace in your family, you can do this. You can follow Satan with selfishness, or you can follow God with love. That's pretty plain. I just kind of summed it up, didn't it? Selfishness or love? I read about a family, and I'm going to tell this tomorrow too. I read about a family that had quarreling all the time, quarreling. They had kids. They were quarreling all the time. In fact, they were just a couple of times they had thought about separating. And this guy at work, somebody gave him this book right here. And he read that book. He was reading that book. And his wife, being selfish like he was, she wanted to know what he was reading. He said, "Oh, honey." He said, "It's the most best book I've ever read." He said, "It is an awesome book." Said, "You got to read it." And he didn't finish it, but he almost did. And he had set it down. And she picked it up. And she started reading it. He went out to do something outside. When he came back, he said, "Did you read it?" She said, "Yeah." She asked him, said, "Did you read the whole thing?" He said, "No, but I read most of it." He told her, he said, "I want this kind of life. I want this love life. Would you go with me in this?" She said, "I'll go the whole way with you." She had already read enough of it to understand that it's a giving contest. I give you all that I have. That's why they did it. I'll give you everything that I've got. I'm not going to worry about myself. I'm going to worry about you and the kids. And they did that. And they tried to outgive one another. And it was awesome. And the kids noticed it. And about a week later, one of the daughters came in and asked them, "Mama, what's going on? You and Daddy hadn't quarreled all week." And she handed her the book. And she said, "Mama, I want that. I want that too." They all came to Jesus in a mighty way, all the whole family, because they wanted love in their family. They'd already experienced the other. They'd already experienced more of the selfishness and the bitterness and the quarreling and the fighting and all of that stuff. And they found out that the love way is the only way to go and have peace in a family full of love in Jesus. Glory to God. I wish I'd read that book 50 years ago. I'm not going to tell you how it could have been a lot more than that. Anyway, I wish I had come to Jesus 50 years ago and read this book right here. Has anybody got any comments to make? That's the two things right there he harped on was selfishness and love. Which one do you want? To get one, you got to get rid of the other. If you want to go Satan's way, you go selfishness. Forget love. Selfishness, me, 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 me. It's all about me. And love is just the opposite. It's all about you, 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 everybody else but me. I'm the last thing on the list. That's what he's talking about. That's what God did. That's what Jesus did. He even gave up his life for us. Are we going to give up our life for the people that's going to be needing it here in a little while? People are needing it right now. I'm talking about myself. People are needing us right now. That love that we show. When he was talking about love and faith, if you don't have love, you don't have faith. He's right. He's right. You got to have the love enough for somebody that's hurting out there to go up to them and say, God told me to come pray for you. I see you're in need. Or somebody that you know that's been having trouble in their families. God told me to come pray for you and give you this little book or whatever, you know, whatever God leads you to do. If we get into this love thing, like God wants us to be, to love, we're not going to have any problem hearing from God. We're not going to have a bit of problem hearing from God. Can y'all see that? Yeah, I can. Anybody want to say something? Yeah, Pat.
The Lord has been taking me, I'm going to say for the last month or so, kind of down a path that I haven't been real, I'm not real clear on. But it has to do with jurisdiction, which is kind of a, you know, like authoritative type of word. But it is has to do with, well, I'm not going to go down that path. I'm just going to say that there's a lot of things that he's opening up, and he's opening it up in fragments here and there. And I know that the pieces are going to come together at some point. I'm going to understand. But he had me in Colossians chapter 3, for the last week. But when you were reading this, Michael, I thought of this verse in Colossians 3:14. And I'm going to read it. The whole chapter is good. It's basically, and when you're talking about, you know, the devil motivates selfishness and God motivates love. God is love. The devil is selfishness and everything that's attached to it. And that realm, I'm going to say that jurisdiction of selfishness rules in the self, the inherited self life, flesh life, carnal life that we have hanging around. And obviously God has raised our spirit to be in Christ, sitting at his right hand. Colossians 3:1. Excuse me. And so he commands us, Paul commands us there in 2, or in verse 1, he says, seek those things that are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. That which is above is love. In Christ is love. In God is love. And it is above. And that word above, I'm thinking of as in the level of authority or jurisdiction, it is above. It's the highest. And the Lord says, set your mind on the things that are above, or set your mind on the above, not on the earth. And this is the verse that he kind of opened up my eyes to some things which I had in my past, which I'm not going to speak about right now, but he kind of unlocked some things in my thinking. And it is verse 3, for you died and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory. That means both of us are manifested in glory at the same time. And he gives us specific things to do, put to death the old man, etc., etc., put on the new man in Christ, etc., etc. But when you get down to all these things that he's describing to put away from you, and then put on the new man, put these things away from you, they're all spiritual things. They're all things that you can't see that are in within us, such as but now put away also them, away, put all them away, put anger and wrath and malice, railing, shameful speaking. All these are things that are manifested on the outside, but come from desire or craving on the inside. Let me skip to the very end that he showed us, or showed me. Forbearing one another in verse 13, forgiving each other. If any man have a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do ye. And then verse 14, and above all, love. And he's showing us that love is above all these other things that you could do, all these other things that you could express, be, or would change. Above that, ruling in jurisdiction over, ruling in authority and dominion over all these is love, which is an internal, unseen, motivating power of God. It's inside, you can't see it, but it reigns over all, including all of the power that self or the devil would use to motivate self. That love is above, reigns above that, reigns over it. So when you were speaking about that, Michael, it brought about, you know, it gels with this verse 14 in the connection of authority or ruling over or more powerful than, excuse me, that power of love is greater than, that's a song, is greater than all our sin. And verse 15, and let the peace of Christ rule, reign, have dominion over us, rule in your hearts, to that which ye are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. So, it just, those verses just, it just gelled together with what you're talking about, love there, in my mind anyway.
Amen, it sure did. Praise God. Yeah, Lana, did you have something you wanted to share?
I changed my mind at the moment. Thank you, though, Michael.
Okay, all right. All right, anyone else? You know, most of my life before I got into all of this over here, my life was ruled by selfishness. It was just Michael this, Michael that, Michael that. I got to have this, got to have that, da-da-da-da-da. And you learn to walk with other people that have already learned this love lesson. And you watch them and you understand where you are. And you want to be like them. You want to act like them. And I'll talk about Jesus. People that show a lot of love, and walk that love life. You want to be a light to everybody around you. And you want to be an encourager. You want love to come out in every which way that it can. And as we talked about tonight in this little booklet here, and by the way, I'll send it to everybody again just in case you didn't get it. I've already had a couple of them that didn't have it, so I'll send it out again. You can print it out. I've got it in booklet form. But anyway, it's this little booklet is a big reminder of where we need to walk. To look like Jesus, talk like Jesus, act like Jesus. And that's in love. Complete, unadulterated love. No selfishness, nothing. You want, just like that woman and that man, they were trying to outgive one another in their love. You know, I don't know how that looked over there in their house, but I'm sure it was, you know, he'd see her wanting to get the trash out. He just jumped up. I'll get it, honey. I'll take this out. But trying to love, outlove one another is the way to be in God, in Christ. And it's something that you have to constantly dwell on, and that's the word, in order to get that love life in you and to walk it out. I think it'd be fun. Can you imagine in your household if you had started out trying to outlove one another? Oh, man. That'd have been cool. Anybody else on this? I hope it helps somebody, because that's the reason I read it. I enjoyed it myself. I figured y'all would. Yeah, Julie.
On the part where you said, it's written there, it's like, we may live with a man or a woman, or for that matter, anybody, your family, whatever, for 40 years and not truly know the person. Only love opens the heart and reveals the depths of our nature.
And unless we are born of God, we will not love. We may feign love. We may try to imitate love, but we will not be successful because love is reality. It's true. You know, I for myself, and I know other people too, but you know, you can't give what you don't have. And I know a lot of people that come from a background of rejection and all that too. It's like, you don't know what love is because you've never received love. You can't give that to somebody. You don't have it. You don't know how. And, so it's just, say you can live with somebody, your family or whomever, and never really know the person because you don't open up because you don't trust the person, or there's just all kinds of things that would keep that from happening. You know, a lot of people that need to get healed and delivered from things of their past so that they can receive, can receive, because rejection and fear of rejection will keep you from receiving love too.
I remember what David said about that when he was reading the Word of God. He said that stuff just started falling off of him, and he had rejection. He had fear of rejection. He had all of that. That's where the love comes in, is when you both get into the Word and you start learning about what love is. You understand what love is. And you keep on keeping in the Word. And when you keep in the Word, you get delivered. That's we all know this. It's something that he talks about constantly. Staying in the Word, getting in the Word. Yeah, Lana.
I have a prayer request kind of related to this.
Okay.
As my beloved family, you guys are, you have heard my trials and struggles with my children. And the Lord has been so, so patient with me because I've come to realize that this is not about my children. And I think I've mentioned this before. I just didn't realize the depth of how much it applied to myself, that my children will not be a problem. There is nothing my children can do that is a problem. If I am in my correct place. Having said that, and as the Father continues to reveal the details of this and give me grace to overcome in all these areas, the starkness of what I was raised in is also becoming more clear. The issues that I have currently, or, by the grace of God, I actually no longer have, because I am overcoming and I have overcome, stem from the lack of affection I received in my childhood. And I'm sure y'all can understand that when you're raised in such a way and that's all you know, it's very, very normal until the Lord delivers you from that. And so I found other ways of searching for love and attention from people, or, daydreaming, or whatever it took as a child to find affirmation for my feelings there. And so now as an adult, I love the Father to the best of my ability. But I am having a hard time relating to God. I know this because of the perception that I've been conditioned to by my own father. Unfortunately, he was not an affectionate man. He's hardly somebody you would call a man in a real sense. And by the grace of God, I have a real man, a real husband in my life now that I am learning to truly, truly, truly love for what for the gift that God's put in him toward me. But I want this understanding for myself toward my Heavenly Father so that I can build a relationship with him. Because right now it's just books for me, right? It's head knowledge. And I know he's doing that, but I just want prayer to be delivered of these chains and conditioning that I have because of my earthly father. I want the real deal with my Heavenly Father. So I'm just going to leave it at that and just ask that y'all just agree with me that the Lord has delivered me. Father God, I just thank you for doing this work. I thank you for putting this desire into my heart, for revealing to me that there's so much more, and that you are prepared to just wash all these things off of me in order to bring me into sonship, to show me what a real relationship looks like between a daughter and a father, Father God, something that I so badly need and hardly have any real idea about. So I thank you for doing this in me, and I thank you, Lord, that no matter what it takes and how painful it might be, the results are going to be worth it, Father God. They're going to be worth it so much more. All this dying to self, because, Father, I know that love never fails. Love covers a multitude of sins, Lord, and you can never go wrong with choosing love over the right thing or the just thing or whatever else, Father God, is the choice. Love always wins, and I want to be able to do that every time, everywhere. So I thank you, Lord, for doing all this for me, and I thank you that I have my brethren here with me to agree, Father God, so that this can be set in motion and that you can bring this into manifestation right now, today, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we just hook our faith up with Lana. We thank you, Lord, it is done. We thank you, Father, for opening her heart to be a heart of love, Lord, and I thank you for it, Lord. We break down all barriers that have strongholds that have been built up in her mind, and we come against them right now in the name of Jesus and command them to come down, to allow God's love to flow throughout her in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We believe what you're doing in her is a mighty work of love, and we thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Y'all believe that? Glory be to God. I thank you, Father, for my sister and her want to be that same, to have that same love that Jesus had in Jesus' name. And I know, Lord, you've already started in the name of Jesus. Amen. Anybody else want to pray? Go ahead, Pat.
Father, we thank you for Lana's heart and desire for you, Lord. And I know that, we all agree with her in more ways than she even knows, Lord, that she in many ways prays and that a prayer for each of us who came through many of the same paths. But Lord, we thank you that you are our healer, that you know how to take a heart, a broken heart, and minister your grace. Just bless her, Lord. Send forth your healing into her heart. And I praise you for it and thank you for it, Lord. And let it be so among us as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Whew. My, my, my. Such a presence of love, isn't it? Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Ben, did you have something you wanted to ask or say?
Well, this topic of love, it obviously brings me to the love chapter, but it also reminds me of that chapter in Andrew Murray's book, Absolute Surrender, where it says love conquers selfishness and that self is our greatest curse. And just with what Lana was talking about, I was reading something here about it. A great many of us try hard at times to love. We try to force ourselves to love, and I do not say that is wrong. It is better than nothing, but the end of it always very sad. I fail continually. Such a one must confess, and what is the reason? The reason is simply this, because they have never learn to believe and accept the truth that the Holy Spirit can pour God's love into her heart. That blessed text often has been limited. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, from Romans 5:5. It has often been understood in this sense. It means the love of God to me. Oh, what a limitation. That it is only the beginning. The love of God is always the love of God in its entirety, in its fullness, as an indwelling power. A love of God to me that leaps back to him in love and overflows to my fellow men in love. God's love to me, and my love to God, and my love to my fellow men, the three are one. You cannot separate them. Do believe that the love of God can be shed abroad in your heart and mind so that we can all, that we can love all the day. Ah, you say, how little I have understood that. Why is a lamb always gentle? Because that is its nature. Does it cost a lamb any trouble to be gentle? No, why not? It is so beautiful and gentle. Has a lamb to study to be gentle? No. Why does that come so easy? It is its nature. And a wolf. Why does it cost a wolf no trouble to be cruel and to put its fangs into the poor lamb or sheep? Because that is its nature. It has not to sum up its courage. The wolf nature is there. And how can I learn to love? Never until the Spirit of God fills my heart with God's love and I begin to long for God's love in a very different sense, from which I have sought it so selfishly as a comfort and a joy and a happiness and a pleasure to myself. Never until I begin to learn that God is love and to claim it and receive it in an indwelling power for self-sacrifice. Never until I begin to see that my glory, my blessedness, is to be like God and like Christ in giving up everything in myself for my fellow men. May God teach us that. Oh, the divine blessedness of the love with which the Holy Spirit can fill our hearts. The fruit of the Spirit is love.
Amen. Yeah.
Hey, Ben, what is the name of that book you were just reading from?
Surrender. Absolute Surrender.
Absolute Surrender. It's chapter 2 in Absolute Surrender.
And the book that I just got through reading, your little booklet, was called The New Kind of Love by E.W. Kenyon. I sent it out back in September, I think. Julie was telling me earlier. That's when I sent it out. I'll send it out again after we get off tonight and let everybody get a copy of it. All right, any more questions or comments on this love that God wants us to walk in? How many of you want to walk in it? Raise your hand. Maybe I should have said those who don't want to. Barbara, I didn't see your hand up. What happened? Oh, okay. There it is. Oh, my. All right, Missy. Did you want to say something or you just got to? Okay. Amen. Yeah. Well, it's a good topic. It's one that Jesus talked about, one that Paul talked about. Praise God. Yeah, Andrew.
No, I just would warn people that in this time there's going to be a shortage of love. But if you endure in the end in the love, as it says in Matthew 24, because iniquity shall abound, the love love of many shall wax cold, but he endureth to the end, and same shall be saved. And, you know, saved is Jesus's first name. He's the Savior. And to endure is the love that he wants you to have. So I have a quote here from David Eales. I can't remember where I got it. So
who's he?
Yeah. God's Holy Spirit moving through our spirits. And you would have the life spirit there and the Holy Spirit also to manifest Christ in our soul, obeying the Holy Spirit of God. So God's Holy Spirit comes and moving through our spirits, because we got the Holy Spirit, and the first fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. So, and it manifests Christ in our soul, obeying, and there's the love, the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit, the blood, the water agree in one. And just as grace, I think, is progressive, because we all, because of his power in grace is because of his power in his it's in John chapter 1 where grace is progressive. And if grace is progressive, then grace upon grace, then so is love. And you know, faith is progressive too. So grace and faith are both progressive. We mature in them. And, you know, what Pat was in there, he didn't read the bond of perfectness in that club, in that 14th chapter. And, you know, a verse came into my head about the apostles being bondmen, the bond of perfectness. And in 6:22 of John, of Romans, it says, free from sin, enslaved to God. That's a bondman. Enslaved to God, bearing fruit, and love is a fruit. And bearing fruit unto sanctification. Well, sanctification is the holiness part of the fruit. But the first one is companion to all the other eight. And love and kindness go together. And they all move together. When one grows, the kindness grows too, I believe. And of course, you know, this joy that you get is, yeah, you get joyful when you see a baby smiling and stuff, but the joy is all those blessings. You know, there's 9 blessings there, and you get persecuted for blessings. One of the blessings, if you get a lot of righteousness, you're going to get persecuted for it. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. And that's who you're really loving with all your strength. As it said, mind, soul, strength, and heart. So that's an important quality, this love of the Lord. And you know, it made me realize, you know, I even asked the Lord a question about John 3:17. I said, Lord, I'm not supposed to judge. I'm supposed to try and save. I'm supposed to be you here on earth. And if think not that I come into the world to judge the world, I came not to judge, but to save. And I said, well, you know, save is Jesus's name, and that's who we are. We're salvation too, and we need grace for that. I said, I gotta give grace if I want to get someone saved. And so I thought of 3:16, and there was love, for God so loved the world. And I go, I better bring love along with the grace. And so that you can really see how all these words are companion to each other. And that's what Jesus wants to be, is your friend. And if he's going to be your friend, And he's the name called the Word of God. And we're the branch, and we're grafted into this vine. Just what kind of life is he sending through to this branch you are? But this love, these it's like a teletype of words going into you, but it's living for you. It's the living sap or Word of God that's going into your branch from the vine. And it's just so cool on how you can collate things with God's word. I don't know if cool is the right. I better say hot. It's so hot to collate these things, because we want to be hot and we don't want to be cool. But yeah. And I guess got to be hot and you got to be sweet. So don't let the sweetness of your lips, because they're not yours or your mouth. It's all been purchased with a price. And I just, you know, I could speak nicely like this, but it's what you have. It's what we entrust the Lord with, and he's going to move us in this way because he's been doing it already. So it's a greater realization of this. It's that 1 John 3:3-2 coming right to the end there, and you know it's all those increases in 1 Peter unto almost every verse, you know, unto the maturity that he's going to bring you to, unto the level you're going to have, you know. I did a study on 1 Peter just to look at all the different verses, and of course it had unto in almost every verse, and of course that unto means you're progressing to that, you know. And it's so filled with a faith to faith, a love to love, a joy to more joy, and of course he speaks of this coming for us as the former rain. And of course, we have to attain latter rain too. So, and we don't do that by ourselves. It comes alive in us by the Lord. And it was an interesting read. I like when someone reads to me. Michael, it seems so much better than, you know, than reading it yourself. Like, I enjoyed what you read, and then I enjoyed what Ben read. You know, Ben comes over sometimes on Thursday early, and he starts reading to me the Bible, and I said, oh, finally, someone's reading. Thank God, you know, that I can hear it from another perspective, you know. And, you know, it's almost like the Lord's putting some good word in you at the same time when people are reading. And
yeah,
it's because it's coming out of an anointed mouth too. So, you know, and that's a big plus.
Amen.
Praise God. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord. I have in my repertoire of songs someone sent me just now that I've added to it. Would y'all like to hear one on how deep is the love, how deep the Father's love for us? Y'all want to hear that? Okay, that settles it. I'll do it then for y'all. All right, praise God. Let's see here.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer.
But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Amen. Yeah, Lana.
I just wanted to share a thought from the heart. I was meditating on this a couple weeks ago on the chapter on love, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I think like many of us who do not have a lot of spiritual gifts to share, the obvious ones, the popular ones, so to speak, I'm believing and desiring the Lord to give those to me as well. But the love that I have experienced in this brethren and the impression it has made on me and the way it has made me feel is so powerful that I would give up all of those desires just to be filled with such love to share it with others. That's all.
That's enough. Thank you, Jesus. That was it. Sealed the law.
I think she spoke for us all there.
Yeah, amen. She did. Mm-hmm. She certainly did. Thank you, Lana. Praise God. I'll be so loving, y'all. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for all my brothers and sisters. Helps us through the hard time. Celebrates through the good time. Thank you, Father. Lord, help us to remember when we read about your love. Help us to file it in the front of the filing cabinet where it just pops out anytime we get in the filing cabinet. Father God, that the love pops right out at us to show love to everyone, even our enemies, to show it to them, Lord. And Lord, let it be that it's just not a thing for tonight, that it's an everyday thing. Every day. And let us always get up and read this little booklet that I'm going to send to everybody every day. And to think about what it is to be like Jesus. And to turn the other cheek and show love to the ones that are hurting out there. To show love the ones that are confused out there. Without inhibitions on ourselves, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father. And when somebody needs help, Lord, just stop what you're doing and give help. Makes no difference where it is, Lord. And I thank you for putting it in our hearts, Lord. To walk up to the man that's standing on the side of the road with a sign. I know the thoughts that go through everybody's mind. It goes through mine. He's just out there getting money. That's all he's done, bless God. He probably got a whole pocket full of money. It don't make any difference. It's not your problem. The problem is we want to show God's love. And when we show God's love, we go up to him and walk to him, talk to him, find out what his problem is. And then pray for him. And then give him money if that's what he needs. Whatever it is that you can give him to help him out. And then pray for him before you leave. Be led of the Spirit all the time, like Lana was talking about. Be filled with the Holy Spirit before you go out. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Lead me by your Spirit as I go out of here and run somebody in front of me that wants to hear the gospel and to see the light and the love that you have placed in us. To give out to the world. A lot of hurting folks out there, Father. And I thank you for doing that for every one of us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit before we ever go out in the morning. Place it in our hearts to praise you and to thank you, Lord, for doing it for us. And Lord, keep it in our hearts to stay in the Word and to understand who Jesus was. To be able to walk like him and even talk like him. And so many things that we can do to help other people that we just go about sometime. Well, I ain't got time. I got to run in here and get me some ice cream for this afternoon. You know, when in fact, all we need to do is stop and give out God's love. Thank you, Father, for doing it for all of us. Doing it for the people that help us. The AC repairman that comes out and works on things. Show him God's love. To help him in any way you can. Or the internet guy, whoever it is, show God's love. That they'll always want to come back and help out. Because they see that that's what you are. You are giving instead of taking. Put that in my heart, Lord. Take out this old stony heart and place it with yours, Lord. I just want your heart. I know, you know, Lord, we say that a lot, but when you stick your heart in there, it's a selfless life. And Lord, but place it in our hearts to want to do that more than anything else. It's to surrender it all to you, like that book of men been reading. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Marilyn, I was hoping you'd pray.
Actually, you know, I wanted to pray for my dear beloved little sister, Lana. Oh, Lana, I just love you, sweetie, and came from such a similar background. But what I pray for you, it's kind of really for all of us to a certain degree, for anybody that needs it or can receive it. Oh, Father, I pray you'd give us all that revelation of your sovereignty, that you see everything, you know everything. You dwell amongst the meek and lowly. You draw nigh unto the brokenhearted. You save such as be of a contrite heart. Jesus came to set the captives free. And he came to heal the brokenhearted. Father, I just pray an outpouring of the Holy Spirit here on my beloved Lana, but Father, on all of us. Even the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage, and the biggest yoke of bondage is self, and just all the self-deception of perfectionism and legalism and condemnation and self-condemnation and rejection. Just bind all that up and cast it down. It's already been broken. It's already been paid for. And Lord, just that anointing on all of us, Lord. Lord, that we rise up truly in the arms of faith. The day that we seek you with our whole heart, we will find you. You draw nigh unto those that draw nigh unto you. And Lord, you hear our prayers. You hear the pleas and the cries of our heart. And Father, I know that everybody here really loves you and wants to walk in the fullness of the light of the love of Jesus. And Jesus is all grace and truth. He is the power in us to walk in the light of his love so that we can fulfill those words in Isaiah that say, as truly as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. You're going to be filled. The earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord because of the light of the love of Jesus that is shining forth through us. And it's not us. It's not us. Father, we truly desire to live the name of Jesus. To fully live and walk in his nature, character, and authority, but it is all to his glory. Father, thank you for the trials, these fiery trials that are just burning up our bonds. You refine us not as silver, we're chosen in the furnace of affliction. So Father, I want to thank you for the work you're doing in us and for each and every one of us, Father, just more and more the revelation of grace, that it is the power of your grace doing the work in us. And that we are able to fully enter into the rest and receive that grace. And Father, as you have been so patient with us, that we are patient with you, trusting that it's you that is doing the work in us, the work that we cannot do. What is impossible with man is only possible with God our Father. And Father, truly, that to the praise of the glory of his grace, we are accepted in the beloved. And Lord, when we're in these fiery trials, sometimes, you know, as Paul says, in having done all to stand. And Father, that we're standing in the armor of light, all the righteousness of Christ Jesus. So Father, we just thank you and praise you for the work you're doing in all of us. And Father, you do all things well. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to your purpose. Nothing can separate us from your love. Father, you're for us and you're not against us. And I bless everyone and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. Everybody receive that? In Jesus' name, I do. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Marilyn.
It's my Marilyn.
Do what? Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay. Monroe wants to go over this next Tuesday. How do we translate rules? How do we translate rules and laws, specifically those in the home, into language of love. Everybody understood? You talk about with kids? Okay. Yeah. That's a good one. With a paddle and a taser. Whichever one you need, you know. I'm just kidding. Yes, we can talk about that. I don't think it's going to take long, but yeah, that'd be a great one. We have some good young couples that are utilizing things that... Are you talking about teenage kids, or are you talking about just all kids? Because there's a difference, man. I'm going to tell you, there's a difference.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, where do you draw the line by, when do you stop forgiving them, if you know what I'm saying? It's difficult to translate what I'm trying to say, but you can be friendly up to a point, and then they sort of take advantage of your friendliness in a way, you know, or your love, if you want to call it that. And if they are 14 and up, it becomes a problem, you know. It's my boy is as strong as I am, so it's very difficult for me to lay in the lay, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, I do. Okay, yeah, that's a good one. And I believe we've got answers for that, too. I believe everybody will have answers for that. Go ahead, Geneva. Thank you, Monroe. That's a good topic.
I actually have a testimony about kind of this topic. A few weeks ago, I asked you all to pray, you know, about Micah, and that the Lord helped me to correct her, and not out of anger, but out of, you know, love, and to kind of know, like, when I need to give her a spanking, and you know, when I need to basically just how to go about parenting, through him. And, you know, and it had given some really good advice about all that. And, I feel like, well, not I feel like I know the Lord heard my prayer, because ever since then, Micah has been, she's been so patient. And it's like the Lord did a work in her, and then through that did a work in me, and praise God for that. But she's been so, it's so sweet for me to see a little baby be so loving. And, she's been, I don't know. I just, Lord really heard my prayer and just changed her little behaviors to where she's not screaming and crying and, you know, throwing fits over things. She's more calm, and she'll just, like, I'll be cooking or something, she'll come up, put her little hands around my legs, and she'll say, "Hi, Mama," all sweet. And it's just really blessed my heart, because I know that's kind of her little way of saying, like, "I love you. You're cooking for me." but you know, I just, Lord heard my prayer, and I'm really thankful, because I feel like, too, I've been able to, you know, whoop her and not be mad while I'm doing it, and be able to tell her no, but there's love behind it. So, you know, anyways, I just thank the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. All right, Joe, go ahead.
I'm going to be short. I just want to relate this. After my little mishap, I can't really move quite a lot. But the most important thing is, Lord have me in the power of a tongue the last couple of weeks, and I'm now in the good news. The most important thing I learned for myself is, it's all related to love, but it's all about casting down strongholds, casting down imagination, change your thoughts, no matter what you're thinking. Be slow to speak and quick to listen. But means a lot to me. And changing my mind to, because that all related to the love of Christ. It all come back to the love of Christ. My mom, don't speak too quickly. Don't act too quickly. Enjoy what you read, or what you learn, or what you be with someone. Enjoy every moment. But the thing is it all has to relate to Jesus. It all has to come back to It's Jesus in us. It's Christ in us. It's Jesus. So nothing more important than Christ in us. If Christ lived through you, you should have love. You should have comfort. You should have peace. You should have rest. It means so much to me. It's a pity, but it doesn't matter. I'm not taking condemnation for it. I should have done this quite a few years ago. But I'm going slowly through it. It means so much to me. It's awesome. Thank you, Father. That's all I want to ask. Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Yes, it is. Yeah, Joe, you talk a good English now. I can even understand every word you say. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the gift of translation. Amen. Go ahead, Lana. Love you, Joe.
Hey, I wanted to share something about loving our children related to Monroe's question, and I'll try to remember to share it when we talk about this. But
okay.
Love never fails. And so if I choose to forgive my son for the 10th time in love, I can trust that the Lord will redeem him. If I choose to give him a spanking in love, I can trust that it will do him good. As long as I'm doing what I'm doing in love, it will work. But if I do it in legalism, then I'm opening the door to a whole nother can of worms. Just saying, been there so much that the Lord just rubbed my face into it to get the message across. Love will not fail me. It won't, because it's the love of God. And so even if the world says, wrong decision, or that doesn't work for your child's psychology, or whatever they come up with, if it's the love of God, it works every single time. And it's the good news. So I just wanted to say that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Well, all right. We're out of time, dadgummit. We've had such a good night tonight. It's been a good one. Thank you, Lord. And we're going to continue this on Tuesday night with Monroe's question. How do we translate rules and laws, specifically those in the home, into language of love? All right. Well, Lana got us started, so praise God. All right, y'all be blessed. And we love you. See y'all.